This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another attempt on Trump's life. We are about to have a heavy talk that's going to be very difficult to hear. We also have Jack Posobiec here to discuss that. There's so much to get to tonight on I'm Right. Okay, let's just start talking about it. The Trump assassination attempt. I know we're 24 hours removed from it, and I know if you're anything like me, you've spent the last 24 hours flipping through the channels, listening to things on your phone, getting updates. So I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of information you already know. We have this dude. He apparently somehow, some way, found out where Donald Trump was playing golf, shows up 12 hours ahead of Trump's tee time, sleeps in the woods. He has body armor with him. He has a video camera with him. And he has some sort of a rifle. We're getting conflicting reports about that. Some say AK-47, SKS. We do know it's an older rifle. It wasn't some super switched on piece of gear. But by the grace of God, a Secret Service agent, the advanced team is a hole ahead of Trump when he's golfing. AK-47 poking through a fence, shots ring out. The shooter did not shoot any of those shots from what we get. Secret Service did. They missed. The guy takes off. Okay. Guy gets arrested by the local sheriff. That may be important here shortly for our own purposes. We'll come back to that in a moment. All right. We got all that. Trump is alive. Praise God. Okay. Now, this guy was a Democrat. Don't let anyone lie to you today. He's got a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on his car. He's donated to Democrats 19 times. He wrote some weirdo book about how Iran needs to assassinate Trump. Okay, so he's a nutball, standard street communist. But I want to talk about something larger, as if there even is anything larger. But sadly, this is going to be hard to hear. I'm preparing you for this. Sadly, there is something larger to talk about. Times change. Countries change. Countries go through phases. If you're blessed enough, for instance, we'll make it about us to be an American. We've had different periods of time in our country. But for the modern era, especially, it doesn't matter how old you are watching me, I'm going to classify that the modern era. Whether you're 90 or 9, everybody, this is the modern era. For our modern era, you and I have grown accustomed to kind of how things work in this country. And when it comes to political violence, the assassination of political leaders, while, yes, it's happened before, I get that, JFK, it's happened before, it is not common in this country. Not when you look at other countries, other periods of time in history. There are times, oh gosh, I could name you a million countries right now. There are times in Japan at one point in time, this is kind of pre-World War II, they called Japan's government a government by assassination. Just the second someone made someone mad, a group would come in and kill him. Just kill him. Just kill them all. Kill everybody. We don't know what that's like. By the grace of God, we've not had to live in that kind of a country. Yeah. But we are going into a period of time where that is going to be a thing that we have to, I don't even want to say have to accept. It's coming here. We are going to move into being a culture of assassination. The ground is already prepped. The ground is prepped. The people have been conditioned. We now are going to be a country where political leaders, this is not going to be isolated to Trump, they are going to live in fear for their lives, and most of them are going to be right-wingers, Republicans. And we have that because Democrats, communists, have worked masterfully over the years to ensure a culture of assassination where their political opponents will be assaulted, vandalized, and murdered. Democrats have done this. They have done this on purpose. Allow me to explain. You've heard me talk about this before if you've watched the show for any length of time, but you're seeing it laid out now, so allow me to explain it again. There are two different kinds of communists. There always have been. This is not unique to America. It was this way in the Soviet Union, in China, wherever. It's this way here. Two different divisions. There are the elites, and there are the streets. They are separate divisions, very separate. The elites, it's the politicians, the CEOs, the powerful people, the judges, the media people. They care about money and power. Right? They're generally not true believers in whatever climate change, LGBTQ, whatever stupid commie gobbledygook they're rolling out there. They're generally not believers in that, but they know they have to pretend to be. They do, however, want their political opponents hurt. Hurt, silenced, dead, they're fine with whatever. These are just vile, demonic people who only care about money and power. So what do? Well, Jasmine Crockett, actually, right before the second assassination attempt on Trump, she laid it out pretty well.
Listen, the problem isn't the people coming in. The problem is this guy and his people here that are doing the bomb threats throughout our country. Domestic terrorism is a real thing, and he is the guy that stokes it. We swore to defend against those that are coming against us, whether they are domestic or international. And right now, I feel like MAGA in general, they are threats to us domestically.
Okay. You hear that, and you probably roll your eyes because you're so used to it by now. That's ridiculous. Trump's a fairly moderate, kind of squishy Republican, to be honest with you. He's nothing like that. He's a very nice guy. If anything, he's too nice to his enemies. He's a nice guy. It's not any of that. But so you roll your eyes. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that the second division of communists, they don't hear that the way you hear it. We talked about the elites. Now let's talk about division number two. That would be the streets, the street communists. These are the ones wearing the Antifa masks, throwing Molotov cocktails, Black Lives Matter rallies, looting Foot Lockers. These are the climate change street animals gluing themselves to the roads. These are the street animals. They are true believers all the way. They believe their demonic stuff all the way. They believe they're warriors for good. And they sit and they consume rhetoric like that. And what it does, what it's done already, this is already done. There's nothing you could or I can do to reverse this. Year after year after year after year of Trump's a Nazi, Trump's a Nazi, Trump's a Nazi, Trump's a Nazi. It has programmed these people to believe that hurting, killing Donald Trump would be a good thing. They, in their minds, have been given permission by the elites to go blow Donald Trump's head off. And in so doing, they will believe that they are stopping Hitler, stopping the threat to democracy. You can look at a montage like this one and roll your eyes. But before I play the montage for you, I want you to look at it through a different lens. I want you to imagine this, do this as best you can. I want you to imagine you're a Democrat. All you consume is Democrat sources of information. When you turn on the television, it's CNN, MSNBC. When you open up the news, it's the New York Times. You probably went to an American university, all communist professors. And I want you to imagine your mind, your spirit is so inhumanly broken that you live in a world of make-believe where, oh my gosh, democracy is about to end and the planet is warming and we're murdering illegals and oh my gosh, this is all done because of Donald Trump. And you turn on the news at night and you hear nothing but this for years.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
I think our democracy is at stake. Not a joke. I think democracy is literally at stake.
And God help us all, but democracy itself can fall.
Democracy, our freedoms are what's on the line.
Our democracy depends on you.
It really does, folks. That's no joke.
Donald Trump is a bane to our democracy. And unless people in his own party stand up to him, it's bad for the party. It's bad for those individuals, but most of all, it's bad for the country.
Donald Trump left us the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. We can't lose this democracy. We can't. I mean, if you want to talk about a threat to nation security, talk about Donald Trump. I know. And so, you know.
If you look at that through the lens of a mentally ill Democrat sitting at home, they will eventually feel that they can be the hero in this little saga of ours. Remember this. As you look at this newest assassin, I'm not going to name him on the show, but as you read about him, as we learn more about this sick individual, you're disgusted. You're blown away by that someone could be that violent. Political violence is horrible. Just violence is an awful thing anyway. You're disgusted. You're horrified. How could anyone be that sick? But you need to understand this man sees himself as the hero, the Hitler stopper, after all, the guy who's saving the country. And that's how communism works now, and it's how it's always worked. The elites, threat to democracy, they give out the targets, the streets, the mentally ill streets. They get their marching orders, and they go. And they loot, and they assault, and they murder. And this has been done everywhere communism has taken hold, and it's being done right now in this country. And I want to stress something else, and this is probably going to be the most brutal part of this to hear. And I'm very sorry for what I'm about to say. I take no pleasure in it. It breaks my heart, to be honest with you. Donald Trump's probably going to lose his life. They're going to get him eventually. And it won't be isolated to Trump. They're going to get other Republicans. There have already been so many attempts shooting up congressional baseball games. We've been building to this moment for quite some time. They're going to kill Donald Trump. They'll kill other Republicans that come after him. We are moving from being the kind of country you've always known to being a country with a culture of assassination. And Democrats, communists, they will murder as many Republicans as they possibly can. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Jack Posobiec is going to join us next. We have so much to talk about. He's as sick about this entire thing as you and I are. Talk to Jack about it in a moment. Anyway, how'd you sleep last night? Look, maybe you had a tough time getting to sleep. I didn't. You know what I did? It was about 9 o'clock last night. I went to my kitchen, got a little coffee cup out, poured a little milk in there, warmed it up in the microwave, and when I pulled it out, I took a little scoop of dream powder from Beam. I put it in that milk, did the little stir thing, and just sat and sipped on a nice warm cup of cinnamon hot chocolate. Only my hot chocolate. It's got all kinds of natural things in it, like melatonin. And I just knocked out. Slept like a baby for about 9 hours. Woke up this morning, ready to go. You want to sleep like that, no matter what happens? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go get some. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me. They talk about democracy. I'm a threat to democracy. They're the threat to democracy.
President
with a fake
Trump.
Russia investigation.
We do have a lot
that
to get.
Went nowhere.
We have a lot to get.
Interesting. The moderator stepped in right about then. And then about 5 minutes later, someone tried to kill Trump again. And of course, they're not going to stop trying. I hate that he plays golf. What do you want me to tell you? I ain't going to kill him. Joining me now, Jack Posobiec, author of the new book, Bulletproof, would highly recommend it. So, Jack, tell me something. Tell me why I should assume that Trump is going to live very much longer. Obviously, everyone wants him dead. Well, not everyone, but all these sick, demonic freaks want him dead. They keep trying to freaking murder him. Obviously, the Secret Service props them for barely getting the freaking dork this time. I'm not going to be cheering them. Why is Trump going to live?
Well, look, Jesse, you know, you're right for worrying about the security posture, because this situation where we know Donald, and I've had people ask me as well this morning and say, is he going to continue to do rallies? Is he going to continue to appear in public? Is he going to continue to do golf? And I've just replied back, he's going to continue to do the things that he's done for the last 10 years. I don't think you're going to see him stop that, especially, by the way, because he's within the last 50-day window of an election. He's got 6 weeks left. Probably the golf could be wound down a little bit because the campaign's ramping up, but you know he's going to be doing these events. So look, is he able to use hard points? Yes. Like, it's very simple, Jesse. The answer is he's got to beef up his own private security. He's got to go to people like Eric Prince, who I just interviewed on the show earlier today. He's got to go to folks like that, to former contractors, special forces veterans, and he's got to have his own coterie of individuals preparing and conducting active advanced security for him. Look, if you just had one drone with infrared technology, the FLIR technology out there, even in the hours before, again, we're told this guy was lying out there for 12 hours lying in wait for this, you would have seen him light up like a Christmas tree on infrared. A guy at 98.6 when we got 70 degree weather, there's no question a guy lying in the woods with that profile with an AK-47 in this makeshift hide site with the ceramic tiles, etc. By the way, a tactic that it seems that he may have learned actually on the battlefield in Ukraine. Very interesting, his connections over there. Look, President Trump's got to, he's got to go beyond the Secret Service at this point because it's not good enough.
We're actually going to get to the Ukraine thing in just a moment, because that's an interesting wrinkle. But let me ask you, Jack, because you're much closer to the Trump camp than I am. Does Trump know that? If you could argue, I mean, we all have flaws, but one of Trump's is he's a very, very trusting individual, and it has bit him several times. Last time he almost got his head blown off. He couldn't sing the praises of the Secret Service high enough. And I was begging him back then, get some private security, get some private security. Does he know that, hey, it's time to spend some money that may hurt to spend on real, real pipe hitters?
Look, you need the pipe hitters. There's no question. Does he know? Look, I've sent that message in. They watch my stuff. I talk to those guys on a regular basis. They know there's an appetite for it. I can't speak for them. I don't make decisions for them. I'm not on the campaign or anything like that. But those of us who have been, and I'm a veteran myself, you're a veteran, any of us who have been in this situation know that when we see a heightened threat environment. And Donald Trump, as of right now, is a walking heightened threat environment. And by the way, Jesse, I'll throw it out there too. I don't know if you said it yet. I'm sure you have, though. It's not just Donald Trump. It's also his family. We know he has an extended family. We know many of them live in the public eye. And oh, by the way, he's got a son who's very publicly going to college right now at a liberal university in New York City. Again, when you're in a heightened threat environment, unfortunately, you have to think this way. Elon Musk, by the way, Elon Musk is what I would love to see is for Donald Trump to talk to Elon Musk about this, because Elon, with his I think an indeterminate amount of children that are out there right now, possibly 12 plus or more. This is personal security, and the security of his family is something that Elon takes extremely seriously. That's exactly who he has hired. That's exactly who he has going for this. Now, he doesn't do the same level of public events as President Trump, but I know for a fact, and anyone who's had any dealings with Elon Musk knows that this is something that he takes very seriously. So, you know, maybe I'll actually see if I can pull some strings and get the two of them on the phone chatting about this.
Yeah, I'd like you to do that. I just the thought of Barron walking around New York City. We're not even going to go there right now, Jack. Let's talk about Ukraine and this wingnut and his ties to Ukraine. What is this?
I mean, it's amazing, right? You scratch the surface and you say, oh, this guy's another nut job. Let's go and look at his ex profile. Let's see what's going on there. Okay, some liberal stuff. Says he hates Trump. Got the Biden-Harris bumper sticker. Okay. And then Okay, he spent 8 months as a foreign fighter on the battlefield in Ukraine, and he was profiled by the New York Times and Semaphore as attempting to recruit former Afghan fighters to go over from Kabul after the fall of Afghanistan to then participate on the battlefield in Ukraine. Now, whether or not he had any success in any of these endeavors remains to be seen. But there's no question to me, Jesse, that when I see the ceramic tile that was put up by those backpacks, he was creating a makeshift body armor hide site in a sniper's nest. This is not something that, you know, your average civilian would do without any kind of training, without any kind of background. This looks like something that you would have put together having learned it on the battlefield. But then you notice he actually doesn't use it very well, because he sticks the barrel of his AK all the way out between the middle of them. So it seems like he has a rudimentary understanding of how it's supposed to work, but doesn't actually know how to do it, which suggests that he may have had some training, but not the actual experience. Maybe we could check with Tim Walz, because we know Tim Walz carried his weapon of war in combat many times, that he could walk us through this potentially. I'm not sure, but as it remains to be seen, it looks as though President Trump has actually been in the line of fire more times than Tim Walz.
Yeah, double. All right, Jack, how do we stop this cycle, this culture of assassination, which I say we're going into? It sounds far-fetched to people now. I don't think it'll sound far-fetched 10 years from now. I believe we are going into being a culture of assassination where these little commie demons just regularly murder Republicans. How do we stop it?
Look, this isn't going to stop until we start seeing Democrats in handcuffs. Obviously this took place in Florida, separately from Pennsylvania, where the first one took place. And so Governor DeSantis is there in office. We need to see Governor DeSantis swinging some political and legal weight while he's down there. If the feds get a hold of this thing, they are going to completely stovepipe it. We all know the games that they play. They're going to put all the information back. No, I want associates. I want details. I want networks. How did he get the gun? This guy's a convicted felon. How did he get an AK-47 or an SKS variant with the serial number filed off? Did he get this from overseas? Did this come from Ukraine? Did somebody help him with this? You need to keep going up and up and up, ratchet it all the way up. And by the way, Brian Kemp, one of the unsung stories out there that I always talk about, and even though I'm very critical of Brian Kemp many times, he's been fantastic in going after the Antifa networks in Georgia. Brian Kemp is going after not just the people who are on the ground, he's going after the people that are providing this false legal services to them, this National Lawyer Guild types. He's even arrested and indicted lawyers from the SPLC that were involved with Antifa going into the Stop Cop City situation. And he's even going after the fundraisers, the people who were raising money through Cash App and these other platforms to be able to go into these things and really go after the networks. That's been the one governor that I've seen in across all of America that's really rolled up the Antifa networks, the left-wing domestic terrorist networks in his state. I'd love for Brian Kemp to put on a masterclass for all the other governors out there and red state AGs to begin doing the exact same thing. You want these things to stop, you've got to ratchet it up. It will not stop until it stopped. And just one thing I'll throw out as well on our side of things. People have said, what can we do? What can you do? What we're doing with the Bulletproof Project is, so I just spent all last night and this morning we went in, we just redid the entire book essentially of Bulletproof, literally told the publisher to stop the presses. We're going to have to pulp a bunch of stuff, but whatever, I'll eat it, because we're going to put both assassination attempts in here. I've also got, because I have no confidence in the federal government, I have no confidence in the FBI, I have no confidence in any of these people to give us any truth, so I've hired a private investigative firm. They are on the ground in Pennsylvania as we speak, and I'm now working to see if we can expand the investigation into Florida. So with the Bulletproof Project, what we're now doing is conducting a continuing investigation, and I'm going to be pushing updates out as much as we can, because I'm not going to let this thing go. And the first thing we're going to be doing is looking at potential connections between the two shooters, something that I didn't hear anybody talk about yet. I haven't heard a single person from law enforcement, a single person from federal law enforcement suggest that there may have been a connection. Why wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be one of the very first things you want to look at through their network of connections, through their network of associates? But of course, we get shut down. And when President Trump, of course, brings it up there at the debate, he gets shut down by David Muir at a time when he mentions, by the way, Russia, Russia, Russia. And it turns out that, the guy who's going to take a shot at him the very next week is a guy who's a full-on Ukrainophile, a full-on Ukrainian nationalist foreign fighter. Gee, it's starting to look like these things might be a little bit connected.
It sure is. The book is bulletproof. Go order it. Jack, appreciate you, brother, as always. Yeah, what a mess. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up your phone. And I want you to pull up the internet on your phone. And I want you to go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to starve a corporation right now of your money. It's time to start starving these corporations. You shouldn't have Verizon. You shouldn't be making monthly payments to AT&T for your cell phone service. Switch to Pure Talk. Pure Talk is the patriotic cell phone company. Their CEO fought for this country. They are so rabidly pro-American, they hire Americans who speak English. So when you get a hold of Pure Talk, you'll actually be able to be understood. Go. It's fast, it's easy. You keep your phone, you keep your number, you save money. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Okay, well, obviously the Trump assassination attempt has been top of mind for every single person, but we should have a little chat about the system, and more specifically, the system's mouthpieces. You see, we don't have actual media as far as mainstream corporate media goes. When you think about the NBCs, ABCs, CBS, CNN, those things, they're not media organizations at all. They are servants of the system. They serve the evil, corrupt regime in power, and they are mouthpieces for that system. And speaking of the Donald Trump assassination attempt, I already told you I do believe they will kill him eventually. I think that's coming. I'm going to say something else. Maybe it will equally shock you. Maybe you already get this. But when they do finally kill him, the media is going to excuse it. Oh, don't get me wrong. They'll take a day, maybe. Oh, man, this sucks. I can't believe this happened. Anyway, they'll take maybe a day. Maybe a day it'll be on the front page of the paper. And then, because it's the system who wants Trump dead, and because the media works for the system, they will quickly move the narrative away from Donald Trump's death as fast as humanly possible. And I know you're going to believe this is true, wrap your mind around this one. They're going to blame Trump and you when Trump dies. They will. They already have their speeches ready. Look, this was Lester Holt right after assassination attempt numero dos on Donald Trump.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio. This weekend, there were new bomb threats in that town.
Understand. The communist is fighting a revolution. He always has been. He always will be. Wherever he is allowed to fester like a cancer in a country, violence will follow because he's fighting a revolution. And anyone who impedes the revolution in any way is deserving of violence and death. That's how the communist thinks. That's how his mind works, because he's a religious zealot. and the people who oppose him are what? They're not Republicans or right-wingers. They're heretics. Historically, how has society treated its heretics? Murder them. They kill them. Usually they kill them publicly. The communist, the entire history of his being, is committing horrific acts of violence, always in the name of self-defense. Always. Well, I mean, it's your fault. You kind of had it coming. I know it's sick. I know it's demented and wrong. That's how they all think. And the day Donald Trump is finally murdered, you are going to see headline after headline, media monologue after media monologue, blaming him and you. And not one of these people, not one, will run to the camera and say, maybe it was all my Hitler rhetoric. Maybe it was the whole end democracy talk that I said. Not one of them will own it. They will murder him. They will blame him. They will blame you. And they will move right off it, right on to the next thing that's convenient for them. Understand that that's where we are right now. We keep watching these things unfold and we think that there's some terrible future. The future is now. But speaking of news, remember the debate? We now have this alleged whistleblower who is saying, we don't have confirmation of everything yet, but he's saying that ABC gave out sample questions to Dome for the debate. Lindsay Lipinjections had a little puff piece written for her in the LA Times where she basically admitted it. She couldn't hold herself back. Of course, they can never control themselves. She basically came right out and said, look, I mean, they didn't fact check him last time, and that really hurt Joe Biden, so we had to fact check him. They just come out and admit these things. And I want you to understand something. The media, they do this all the time. They're not going to stop. They're not ashamed of what they did. They're going to do it over and over and over again. And so I wanted to play something from Kamala Harris for you really quickly. Because we're going to leave. I want to do other stuff, but I want you to wrap your mind around this. I know it's been a dark show. I can't help it. There's a lot of dark stuff out there. So I'm going to hand you something, and it's going to be a lot, but just know that I'm right on this. There is an economic disaster coming. It can't be stopped. It's not possible. Trump, the Republicans, there's nothing that can stop it. We have spent so much money. The interest now outweighs defense spending. And this is at a time where nobody, Republicans or Democrats, are going to cut a dime. We are heading into a disaster. Whatever that looks like, global depression, most likely, moving off of the dollar as the reserve currency, there is an economic disaster coming that may exceed anything in the history of the United States of America. It's coming. You can't spend and print money on this level. It's coming, right? Knowing that, I want you to watch this interview. You've probably already seen bits and pieces of it. I want you to watch Kamala Harris be interviewed on this station in Philadelphia. Knowing a fiscal disaster is coming and can't be stopped, I want you to think about this person leading us during it.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, yeah, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people. You know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. J.D. Vance did put on a nice little class on how our politicians should treat these people. He might have been a little nice for my taste, but he's doing well.
These calls from the constituents.
Dana, and they're telling me this stuff is happening. Dana, would you like to ask me questions and then let me answer them? Or would you like to debate me on these topics. I noticed that when you had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you gave them multiple choice answers to the questions that you asked, and you allowed them to answer the questions. I'm happy to be here to talk about policy, but if you're going to interrupt me every single time that I open my mouth, then why am I even doing this? So please ask a question, and I'd ask you to be polite enough to let me answer.
Mm-mm. That's well done. All right. Remember Cheryl Atkinson? Yeah, she's the amazing journalist the Obama administration went after. She's also all over the COVID reckoning stuff. We'll talk to Cheryl next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
You know what I was thinking about? It was yesterday or the day before. I don't know. The weekends tend to blend together when you have kids. I was thinking about the science being settled. Remember that? Remember how much during COVID they love to tell you that? And it's not unique to COVID. Climate change, you name it. They love saying that. The science is settled. Hey, don't question the science. It's settled. The statement itself is, of course, absurd because science is never really settled, right? They're supposed to always be exploring, testing new theories. But when it came to certain things, the science was settled. Remember that? Freaking creepy. I bet you Cheryl Atkinson remembers that. One of the great journalists in this country who's actually been attacked by this government, but that's a story for a couple minutes from now, and author of the new book, Follow the Science. I'm a fan. Cheryl Atkinson joins us. Cheryl, one, I'm a fan. I don't say that to very many people. Two, do you remember when the science was settled?
I do. I thought the same thing you said so well, that that's a sort of an oxymoron, as is follow the science. I think that became a code for don't listen to your cognitive dissonance, don't do your own research, just do what we're telling you to do.
Cheryl, could you explain as best you can? I know you've done so much research on this stuff. In fact, you just wrote a wonderful book on it all. Our institutions, they are so important. You know, our medical institutions, the media institutions, these institutions are important for a country. How did ours get so poisonous?
This was a process which I have outlined, I think, in a lot of writings and even in other books, but the media became corrupted with the influence of the pharmaceutical industry, but other things too. But pharmaceutical industry influence came primarily when we started allowing direct-to-consumer ads of prescription drugs on TV, which isn't allowed almost anywhere else, didn't used to be allowed here. But it created a partnership with an exchange of billions of dollars between the pharmaceutical industry and corporations that have news divisions, where the news divisions understood where their bread is buttered and censorship entered the picture. The pharmaceutical industry has long contributed to both political parties at the highest levels so that they're ensured there won't be hearings held on certain topics, that laws can be written by the pharmaceutical industry. Literally, phrases can be put in there by their lobbyists so that they're written the way they want. And then the final corrupting factor that I discussed that I think isn't being talked about enough is the corruption of medical establishment. By that, I mean what doctors are taught starting in med school that shapes the way we're treated in a way that's not good for us. And I think helps explain why we've never spent more money on pills and doctors and healthcare and insurance, and yet we're growing sicker and sicker with chronic diseases.
Before we get to actually the CDC and vaccine stuff, I want to just ask you one more thing about what you just laid out there. You mentioned the television and direct-to-consumer ads, and it really is amazing. We had the TV on. We don't watch a bunch of it. We had the TV on the other day, and I hadn't watched TV in ages, and every friggin' ad was some kind of pharmaceutical thing. I didn't remember that from being a child. I never remember that at all. But You said it was about money, and I get that. But other countries like money, too. You know, even those Europeans, they like money, and they outlaw this. Is there something more to it than money?
I think that the corrupt influences, let's just call them influences before they would be recognized as being corrupting, the influences have found a way to buy their way into our political, our agencies and our political figures in a way that they haven't been as successful in other places. We apparently provided a nice landing for that and decided to allow all of this.
Now I want to shift gears and talk about an institution I never thought I would find myself criticizing publicly up to a few years ago, the CDC. Who ever had an axe to grind with the CDC? After all, they're just there to keep us safe from diseases. But the COVID vaccine is one of those things. Everyone's against mandates now, but very few people are talking about how many people have been harmed by these. My emails are still full of these people, and Thomas Massey was interrogating someone about it. Here's what he said.
Hi, this is Congressman Thomas Massey. Is this Dr. Oliver?
Yeah.
There was an error, and I noticed you're an author on it, and I wondered if I could get your help in getting this error corrected. You can't say it's efficacious for people with prior infection. That's an absolutely untrue sentence.
Yeah, I mean, we're still recommending that individuals who've had prior infection receive the vaccine. But we wouldn't want to put out that if you had COVID before, you shouldn't get the vaccine.
Actually, if you've had COVID before, and there's a 75-year-old person who can't get the vaccine, and you're 30 years old, you should not get the vaccine because you are wasting resource. It will lead to people who die or have medical complications because we have a limitation of the vaccine. That's why I think it's important that that document get fixed.
Okay, I can talk with MMWR and with Dr. Cohen and see if we can tweak that language a little bit.
Cheryl, was there a cover-up about how damaging this vaccine was?
Yes, in this case, the specific thing that was taken issue with had to do with a false piece of information CDC and its top advisors had signed off on, Republican doctors, falsely claiming that the initial study showed COVID vaccine was safe and effective and did good for people who'd already been infected and had natural immunity. That's not what the study said. And what is with a lot of persistence, Congressman asked the CDC and its top doctors to admit they were wrong, the information was false, should be changed, and yet they tried to drag their feet on changing it and continued to put out the false information in subsequent webinars for doctors. In other words, we can prove intention to mislead with this conversation.
Okay, so there was intention to mislead. That sounds like supervillain stuff. Does it, I'm just sorry, I even have to ask, does it just again come back to money? Do we just have a bunch of institutions, CDC included, and they've just all taken their 30 pieces of silver?
It's a combination of factors. Money is driving it, but I think some of them have been convinced incorrectly that this is the right path to take to mislead the public for somehow the greater good, so you don't scare people off of vaccines, you get as many people vaccinated as possible, regardless of side effects. There are some who I think have been convinced that's the right path to take, but they've been convinced by probably the most successful propaganda effort of our time, driven by money designed to make CDC what it is today, which is a marketing institution for vaccines. It's very, very, not much more than that. And I think even they would admit their job, they think, is to market vaccines, but not to inform you or tell you about the downside.
Cheryl, RFK Jr. famously dropped out, endorsed Trump. They have very different views on a lot of things, but RFK Jr. is pretty switched on when it comes to the corruption of these institutions. His proximity to Trump, if we get a Trump part two presidency, and he's actually still alive by that point in time, do you think there's a chance at any kind of a reckoning for how the American people were deceived repeatedly?
I think there's a chance at some real change, but I believe those of us who study this think it's going to take more than even just 4 years of someone who knows what they're doing to turn the direction of this ship, because the corruption is so endemic and our health agencies and the media and our political figures and so on. I think it could be a start, but I think maybe even better than that, COVID opened the eyes of a lot of people who were not really looking. And they were like I was some years ago before I was assigned to cover these stories. They believed that the medical system was kind of pure. Scientific studies were to be believed, that researchers would never lie, and our doctors and public health agencies were looking out for our best individual interests, when that's not necessarily the case. And a whole lot of people know that now who really didn't know that pre-2019.
I think you're right. Cheryl, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you. The book is Follow the Science. Highly recommend everybody pick it up. Cheryl Atkinson, everyone. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And we all need to lighten the mood after the last 24 hours. You know, I don't like spiders. I would not go so far as to say it's a phobia, but I really do not like spiders. Snakes have never bothered me at all. There's just something about spiders with their little beady eyes and the little fangs. And I, the reason I wouldn't call it a phobia is, in the Marines, we were around spiders so much, whether it was the desert, in the jungle, they had big ones, like big ones the size of my hand. You'd be walking and there'd just be some big one on a huge net, 5 foot in diameter, or net, a web, 5 foot in diameter. And so eventually you learn to exist by them. But hey, if you were to hook up a little heartbeat monitor thing to my chest and then take a big fat hairy spider and put it on my hand, am I gonna scream, ah, no, 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 nothing like that. But that heart rate would be going up. So this guy, I know it's light in the mood. I felt for him. I hope he's okay. I'm right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.